Welcome to Unqualified, Not Disqualified. Thank you again for joining us. It is me here with Nathan today, which is absolutely wonderful. We have Jake over here.
We do.
And it's great to see him. He was behind the camera last time, and this time he's in front of the camera.
Yes, I was in front of the camera for a minute last time.
He was.
But mostly behind.
And AJ here is our cameraman, and then for those who are not watching, he is currently in front of the camera. Make sure you say hello. He's wonderful.
We're not sure he knows how they work yet.
Yeah, so. we just kind of showed up, and we just said, we'll use him, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's
how the good things
we
work.
We use people.
All right, so and a couple of updates. Well, we'll start off with this. We're currently in a house with a bunch of people,
yes.
Including a baby. So if you hear any noises and anything like that, just, you know, kind of keep
apologize.
That in mind. That's why. Otherwise, you know, from here on out, we're going to try our best not to plan it on these type of nights. But anyway, then as you saw, those of you that watched our first podcast,
yes,
you saw that if you looked at the description, it said me, Tim, and Michael. Unfortunately, we lost Michael. He's not dead.
He's not dead.
So thank God for that. but he has a lot of things going on in his life right now that he's just busy and he doesn't have the time for it. And that's okay. It's unfortunate. Yeah. It is sad. But, you know, we might revisit it and he might come back on with us at some point. But right now, it's not the season for it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say also that it is cold and flu season. And I think all three of us have hit the cold last week.
Yep.
I'm still getting over it. These two sound perfectly healthy. You lucky dog.
I'll be honest with you. Up until today, I was clearing my throat all the time. I wasn't really able to talk that well. And then now I'm like, okay, let's run it. Let's roll.
It was nice for about a week. He was quiet.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, not that he would know because he doesn't.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, he knows. He has to hear about it.
He knows.
Oh my goodness, Nathan went shut up again. It was just like, why are we at this family dinner like this? But
I don't know. Why that's always a topic. Like Nate won't shut up. Well, I mean, I guess I just don't. So it's
and for some reason, he started a podcast to try to help that, and it just made it worse.
Right. I mean, it's okay.
It just now gives him a stage to talk.
Right.
Yeah. People pretend to listen to him now. Yeah. So it's.
So.
You know.
Yeah. But tonight. Yeah. We are going to talk about what. Excuse me. What we're going to talk about.
What it specifically says in the title.
What would a man do?
Yeah.
And. Wow.
I mean that's a lot right there.
What would a man do?
That's a lot.
Like that's definitely a question. It's like. There's a lot of things a man would do. Not all of them are good. You know, and there's a lot of them that are like, no, I don't know if you should be doing that. Being a man, you're supposed to be a leader. So, you know, there's definitely things like that. That's just human nature.
What do you think a man is? Like, you're talking about, like, what a man would do. But what's, like generically, like, what do you think a man is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think for me, like, a man is like the macho man. Like we're talking macho man Randy Savage, where you're just like, these muscles are massive, and I am the greatest of all time, and I don't know what else to say that's macho.
Just insert some muscles there.
Yeah, just extra biceps, please. Listen, I have scrawny arms, I fully admit it, so I kind of failed at that, but that's what I always thought like a man was supposed to be, because that's what my dad was, is like this big guy.
Your dad's a unit, yeah.
Like, big guy, but he's also got these really big muscles from working the farm. Yep. And he'd always tell us, like, oh, when I was a teenager, you know, I just threw bales of hay like a man.
Yeah.
You know, and
all
it's,
of our parents have those type of
And it's those kind of things. It's those kind of.
I walked 27 miles to school.
Uphill both ways, you know, it's good time.
But, like, those are the kind of, like, stereotypical norms that you heard for a man. And, like, What do you think that, like, is that still true for you guys? Is like, what do you think a stereotypical man is? I'll begin there. Like, where is that?
I don't think what a man is has changed. I think society wants to change what a man is. I don't think men have changed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In my mind, what a man is has not changed.
Right.
I think society is trying to change what they label a man.
That's true.
That what they want a man to be.
Right.
But for anyone who ever, like you said, you have an image of what your dad, he was a man.
Right. Yeah.
That image for you has not changed.
right?
Society can try and change what they want a man to be, but in your mind, it's always going to be, again, macho man dad, right? Yeah. And so to me, that's, no matter what they, what society tries to tell us, you know, it doesn't change what a man really is.
Yeah. That's true, and that's the thing, though. Like, God didn't call us to be prideful, but he called us to be men.
Yeah.
It's like, he called us to be people that are leaders. People that are like, okay, this is what me and my household are doing. This is what we're doing. This is, and why we're doing it is because that's what's got, what God has called us to do, right? Yeah. It's all about that. If you don't have God at the center of your life, are you really a man at all?
Wow. Wow. I think the consensus is this, like, the muscle-bound person, but, like, is that where you think the, like, as you've grown up, is that where you think the genericness of a man has kind of become? Because, like, for me, like, as I grew older into a teenager, it slowly developed to this, like, old man respect, where it's like these old men, and they just kind of come in and they give you a handshake, and they'd be like, that's not how you do a handshake, boy. And they teach you how to do a proper handshake, and like their hands were sore and gristle and tough. And that kind of became this new perception where it's like, it's big and strong, but it's also this sense of respect that kind of comes in. And it's like,
and I think strength is a good way of putting it, because strength, more it goes into more than just, you know, muscle. It's strength in every regard. Emotionally strong. I mean, that's the man's job. It is, you know, biologically, God created us to be the stronger of the two. And and there's nothing that's not good or bad. That's just how we were created.
Right. Yeah.
But even beyond just the physical, but the mental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Men were just created to be strong.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. No, and it's true. It is. And that's the thing. Like, I want to like stress this too. There's a lot of women that are also strong. There's
absolutely.
There are
women who have been, you know, that I've met that are physically, mentally, and abilitically stronger than I am.
Yes.
And they've
yes.
made fun of me for being weaker than them.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely
that
true.
Part you'll have that. Right. You'll have, you know, nonetheless. But yeah, it's like, you got to be careful with what that mindset is, though, because easily you can get prideful, like, oh, I got muscles, you know, I got this and that, I'm better than you, I'm better than you, like, you're not as good as me, like, and this and that, like, but that's not what life's about. You're supposed to be a leader. And sometimes, yeah, you do lead other men. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're the leader of an organization, whatever it is. And it's like, okay. But just because you're the leader doesn't mean that you have to be prideful. The people that are prideful, why would you want to follow them anyway?
Yeah,
like, you find a leader, you're like, okay, that guy right there, he has the mindset of, I'm here to lead you. I'm not here to make fun of you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to uplift you. Yeah, I'm going to give you words of encouragement. Like, you might not want to be doing that, dude. But, like, at the end of the day, it's not about, like, you know, doing all the, I'm better than you. Because if it is, then what kind of leader are you?
All right.
I mean, I think just today at work, we had, 4 guys on a job, right? And so if there's 4 guys, 1 job. So they're all working together. They're all doing their individual tasks. But the problem that occurred was that there was 3 leaders and 1 person that was willing to work.
Yep.
And so 3 different people had all these ideas, because this was a job that required high skill and high knowledge.
Hmm.
And so these 3 men were put on it because they are skilled men. They are knowledgeable men. But they all 3 of them wanted to lead. And so they had 2 different ideas. And they like, oh, we got to do this and we got to do that. Just to say what we were doing, we were bending 2-inch pieces of steel about from a flat position to probably a 45. And so you got to heat it to a certain temperature to make it to bend. And you have to put it in a right fixture in order to do it. But these 3 men started to lead as if they were all 3 leaders. And you can't have 3 leaders. And, you know, even though Brother Michael isn't with us right now, he brought up this point of, as a man, I don't need to win in order for you to succeed.
True.
That's
so good.
It's such a good point, because once again, talking about coming from like a kid's standpoint, you're taught like you got to win.
Right.
But as we're growing up and becoming men, I've really learned that step that he talked about is like, I don't need you to lose in order for me to win.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know if there's like, a good example for this, but I just think like that was the best example. It's like these are three leaders, but you don't have to lead. One of you can follow, right. and you both yep. can win.
Right.
And I think as Nathan talks about being the head of the house and the head of everything like that, that's kind of what we need to do. Is yeah. that even as Christian men, is that I need you to win with me.
Mm-hmm.
You right. know, I need you to come up with me and, right. and do things. You know, I have Nathan here, and we've grown up together, but we haven't fought each other on the way up.
Right.
We've come yeah. up together.
I mean, we've had disagreements, but everybody that's human is going to have a disagreement with somebody.
Oh, we've had many, 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 many disagreements, I guarantee. But
yeah, I mean, I think it's just so important to realize that you're not, that what Tim said, you don't have to have someone else lose in order for you to win. Like, yeah, if you're playing a soccer game, a football game, yeah, you have to win and someone's going to lose. But, like, that's not what the point is. We're trying to mm-hmm. put across, like, us three can yeah. do a task like they did, and we can all get it done together, and we all win.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be like, oh, well, Jake, you're not doing your part, so we don't need you. We show Jake, hey, you know, this is what we need you to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you need help, let's do it together. That's what
yeah.
it's about.
Yeah.
That's what a man should be.
mm-hmm. Well, and I think of it this way. If I asked you, would you rather have the best, whatever, IT technician, right?
Mm-hmm.
The best. Just one, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or would you rather have 1,000 working together to do the same work?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to get it done faster? Who's going to be more efficient? Yeah, the one guy, he might have more knowledge than all those 1,000 combined.
Yeah.
But when you put that 1,000 together, you can't beat that.
It's yeah. true.
So again, back to your point of growing together. Yeah, sure, mm-hmm. he might be better than them as far as what he knows, his knowledge, his skill. But that 1,000 is going to grow
yeah.
1,000 times faster yeah. than he is. Mm-hmm. It's how it works. So yeah, to your point, I mean, growing together, absolutely. But I think yeah. that yeah. takes humility.
It does.
It really does. I mean,
it does.
I think as a man, and I want to go kind of back to this point of like, we were always taught that we had to win.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically as growing up, you know, like there's video games, there's sports, there's, you know, just like running to the store. It's like, oh, I can beat you to the store.
Mm.
And we get this mindset and we grow up and like, oh my goodness, I have to win. I have to win today.
Yep.
And we need to change that from this biblical man aspect
yeah.
of where we've been taught to be a man
yeah.
and take a step back and say, you know what? I can learn.
Right.
You know, I can be the lesser man. Yeah. You know, I need to be the one that is taught. I yeah. don't need to be the leader today. Yeah. And that's hard for me to right. do. I want to be a leader yeah. like all the time.
Right.
But like, where I am right now, I'm learning like every day that there's so many people who are stronger than me in the faith. You know, I just like as an example,
that's a good thing.
it is a great thing. As an example, there was an old lady in our church, right? And we have all these old ladies at our church that are like, you know, 50s, 60s, and they're just, you know, really.
And he just called 50 to 60 old. I want to know. They hear.
Listen,
that.
Listen. I'm well, sorry, mom. So, I'm yeah, sorry,
I was about
dad.
To say, yeah.
Both of them are.
My mom as well. And my stepdad. And my dad.
He
and
said,
a
my,
lot of other people.
My ladies.
Parents. My parents.
Anyways, back to your point.
I apologize to my own parents who were above 50 and 60.
And everybody else that listened to our podcast.
if you're twice my age, I apologize, but I think you're old. Yeah. So
if you want his address, I can get it.
Guys, I'm gonna die.
Hopefully not.
But what I'm
saying is that she prayed for like 5 minutes,
right?
And it was the most powerful, impactful prayer I've ever heard in my entire life,
right?
And it's like I wanted to take that prayer, but I learned something from her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that like, oh my gosh, I just lost at prayer. Right. Like, guys, I just lost at praying, guys. Like, yeah. I had to take the L from this old lady. No. I learned how to pray better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, that's where we need to come in
yeah.
as men. And we need to start taking those moments and teaching the young ones, but more like ourselves because we're young and learning from these older people and taking in this stuff.
Right.
You know, because we don't need to beat out these older people in our lives.
That's true.
We can do it with them.
Yeah. And we should do it with them.
Yeah.
We should do it with them. Not we can, we should. Because they have so much more knowledge than us.
The Bible says because wisdom cries out in the street.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the like you said, there's wisdom with right. age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you to yeah. listen to it.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
It's up to you to hear it, mm-hmm. to apply it. I mean, and again, that comes back to pride.
Yep.
Of, oh, I, you know, they said this.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, they're old. They what do they know what they're talking about, right?
Yeah, you just
right.
say that sometimes.
I know what I'm talking about. Right. I, you know, I just got trained on this. Mm-hmm. I can do this better.
Yeah.
And then 3 months later, after you've done that for three mm-hmm. months, you realize,
what am I doing?
Exactly.
I really wish I would have taken
I'm
some
glad
counsel.
The school like yeah. really helped me and like all
but
this.
But there's just, and this is not even a biblical thing. It's just a life thing.
Yeah.
But I just think we live in a society where you have so much information mm-hmm. here that you think, oh, well, I know more yep. because I've seen that. I've seen yep. it on TikTok, mm-hmm. Instagram, Facebook, whatever yep. it is. Real world mm-hmm. application, I think, is something that our generation is sorely lacking.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think absolutely. Sorely lacking.
Yep.
They mm-hmm. just, there's so much of a, I know everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're not willing to listen to that elder.
Yeah.
That's seen mm-hmm. some stuff. I yeah. mean, it's, again, this is just a very real world topic, but yeah,
yeah.
There's my tangent. Sorry.
I mean, I was like, keep going.
Not biblical. It's just, I hate to see that in our own generation.
Right.
And that comes back to the winning together. I want to see our generation.
Yeah. I want to see
be the winningest, right? Yeah. I don't want to see our generation
lose,
you know, down here. Of course, you know, I feel like the guys in this room, we're doing well for ourselves. We you know, have the right priorities. So I don't think that we really fit into the you know, the view of our generation yeah. that people have, the view that people have. But at the same time, it's still there.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll give an example of what I've heard of our generation. So my boss has his nephew / like weird family son-in-law thing, but not son-in-law, but some sort of weird relation. And he's the exact same age as me. And so he is like, man, I hate him. He plays video games 24/7. He pees his pants and he walks around the house with pants peed, wet, all over the house. And he walks around. And I think he sees me in that same way.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm like, man, I absolutely hate those people. But it's like, but that's our generation. That's part of it, you yeah. know? And the other half of the generation is like you said, it's the people around here. It's like, we've looked at it
yeah.
and we're like, man, I hate our generation
yeah.
because it's stupid
yeah.
that people would want to live this way
yeah.
because they're gaining nothing for themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So there just isn't any drive.
No. Yeah. And I was like, I understand how you can live like this because it's comfortable, but
it's easy.
Yeah. But he also says that he complains all the time about his life. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, what life? It's like you
don't have one.
You play video games 24/7 and pee your own pants.
Yeah. Well, and it's just there's so many people in our generation. I know so many people that I either went to school with or just worked with at one point. And it's like there's no drive to better themselves.
And I just can't.
It's sad.
I can't think of a past generation that has ever had that issue.
Yeah.
There's no drive to better themselves, and that's just not human to me.
Yep.
That's completely inhuman.
It's what we live.
It's crazy to me. And this is again a more real world application. Working in finance, like I do, mm-hmm. I can't turn off numbers. Right, I'm yep. always thinking yeah. of like retirement. Right, I like that's me.
I want to
retire well someday. And to me, I guess I always think like, everyone wants to retire, right? Yep. Like everyone's
hopefully.
Planning for retirement.
Yes.
But I look at our generation and there's no thought of that. There's none.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I think there's just this like, oh, well, yeah, of course I'll retire someday. But there's no like, they're not doing anything to try. Like, yeah. I don't think people realize that first of all, you should be starting at our age, right?
Yeah, if you don't
and
know.
And our parents and our grandparents started at our age.
Yep.
There's no thought of it. Because it's just living in the here and now. Oh, well, I don't want to work a full-time job. I'm good with working Wendy's 13 hours a week. And there's just no drive.
You pay your bills, you go home.
Yeah. It's eat, sleep, and whatever else they do because they don't work.
Yeah.
I don't know. It blows my mind.
I I understand from like a physical aspect. Like, dude, I'd love to do that, but like looking at the future, you like responsibility.
Sure, I'd love to have the amount of time off that a lot of people our age seem to find. Yeah.
Our cameraman just raised his hand. Yeah. Said yes. I gotta put that out there. He volunteered.
I'd love to have that kind of time, but it's just not real. Like, what are you actually? You're not working towards anything. Mm-hmm. I won't give that up for time.
I was just saying where I've been lately, because I've been sick, is that I've been sleeping a lot, and I've just not been doing anything that I've wanted to do. And then since like I started a project and I got really, really busy, I've enjoyed that life more than being lazy on the couch and like sitting on Facebook and scrolling for 2 hours or something. Just doesn't it, like I realize the distaste for it now, and it's weird to say, especially for our generation. Our generation, that's all we do. Mm-hmm. Like even while we're at work, I see a bunch of them just scrolling TikTok every once in a while, just like, oh, TikTok, take a vape, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, we as the next men coming up need to change this.
Yeah.
And I really think that, like, it's not easy to start anything, you know, to start changing your ways and changing your steps. And I think really what it comes down to is accountability.
Yeah.
And this kind of thing that's, I think, is also lacking in our generation is the accountability for your actions.
Right.
You know, and I, oh my goodness.
Just to kind of go back to where we were at just a second ago with the type of jobs that we're having. It's okay to have those type of jobs, like those like lower paying jobs.
Oh, I'm in no way saying that that's not okay. I see people that are mid-20s who should be
right.
Just at a social level should be working towards a career. Like at least attempting to, whether or not you can get your career going,
that's hard.
Okay, that is not easy. Finding your space, not easy. Not trying is unacceptable. Yes, that's my not dogging on people that have worked in the fast food industry and whatever you do.
Even
just do something. There's just so many people not doing.
I just
something.
Wanted to clarify that.
Sure,
I mean,
that's a very good.
Yeah,
good
absolutely.
If you're working
at
like Wendy's or whatever, we're not being like, well,
not
you're,
dogging
you're,
on
you're
that
not doing
all.
Anything. Like,
you
got to
do it.
No, but like,
it's a grind out there.
It's hard.
Whatever
it
you
got to
do.
It's
absolutely.
Not fun.
I'm not. But there's people of our generation. I can say it because I see it. That are not trying, and that's to me, it doesn't feel human. It doesn't feel natural to not try to further yourself, further whether you, like if you work wherever you work, furthering your job, right? I try to further our financial industry, like you, just working towards something is very human, and it just seems like our generation is lacking that drive to work towards something.
It is, and I think it's the mindset of like, oh, well, we don't have a good president or like whatever. There's always an excuse.
There's a lot of excuses.
There's always an excuse to not do good. It's like, oh, well, the economy, the this and that. Get a job. Put money towards.
Listen, I'm going to be, it hurts. It hurts. And that's something I want to say is that no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you do in your life, no matter what you say, anything you do hurts.
Yeah.
Anything. Like if you woke up yesterday and you put on a pair of pants, sometimes it hurts. That's not a good thing. But that's what I'm trying to say.
This didn't hurt putting on.
Not today. But I'm saying anything that you try to do different is going to be hard. It's going to hurt. And
I
understand.
There's no growth without pain.
There's no growth without
pain.
I think that's why they call them growing pains.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Fact check me on that.
Yeah. We kind of talked about that.
But you look at people who work out, who bodybuild. Yeah. They break themselves down. So that they can build back up. Yeah. It hurts. It's supposed to hurt.
We kind of talked about that in our first podcast where we were like, when you're going through something, when you're going through change or pain or whatever it is, you're going to feel that and you're going to have to continue whether you want to or not.
Yeah,
you're not always
going
to want to continue. It's not easy to continue sometimes.
In fact, you're always going to want to not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
it's a
terrible.
Constant fight. You have to fight that. Do I want to go to work every single morning? Yeah. No, there's mornings I don't want to go
to
work. I love
a
my
lot.
Job. I love what I do.
A lot of mornings.
I enjoy my job.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a random Wednesday once in a while where I'm like, man, it'd be nice not to go to work.
Home, man, golfing sounds fun.
Yeah, anything, right?
Home's great.
Yeah. But you know what? I put on my pants and it doesn't hurt. And I go
I really
to work.
I really put my foot in my mouth, didn't I?
I go to work. That, it, I go to work. It's just yeah, and to me, that's being a man as well. Even just being consistent, yeah. Being consistency.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're called to be consistent. Yeah. Yeah. That's biblical.
I think it comes back to what I was trying to say is this accountability is that we're missing. And I love what it says here in Ezra 10:4, New King James Version. Arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We are also with you. Be of good courage. This is hard. We will take responsibility for what we have done. That's kind of what I think we're missing, is that there, we have a laziness, but it is this drive to not take responsibility.
Yeah.
To where we're looking at this moment. This very small moment in our lives, and we're not taking responsibility for the things that we're doing. And right. And back to what I said earlier when I was talking about old men and their handshake, when you do a handshake like that, men aren't looking for your strength, like we were talking about, these macho men strength. They're looking for your ideas and your accountability. They're looking to see what kind of man you are. Because if you give a bad handshake, you're probably a bad man. And it's like, is that really true? But it is true for these old men have learned. And I can attest that I've gotten a bad handshake before, and I then was like, I'm not going to take this deal.
Well, even I think,
and it's
with handshakes, just on a very simple level.
Yeah, it's a very simple level.
When I go to shake someone's hand, mm-hmm. to me, it's I don't want to be limp-wristed, right? Yeah. It comes back to an appearance thing more than anything for me. I want to appear as a respectable person. I want to appear as a strong individual. And yeah, again, you give a limp-wristed handshake, I'm going to go, right? So yeah.
What I'm saying is it from that age, it taught me that accountability from a very simple standpoint of a handshake.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh my goodness, a handshake taught you what taking responsibility is. Like, yes, it is. Because the handshake taught the things behind the handshake. Mm-hmm. Because when I talk about hands, and my hands are a little bit more calloused here than probably Jake's. Jake's here is a banker.
I type on a keyboard. Oh, leave me alone.
Well, I was going to say, he's a banker. He does not.
The tips of my fingers are calloused.
But okay, so we're going to go with Nathan then. Nathan here just doesn't do
anything.
The same man. He doesn't do the same manual labor that I do. I got a little bit of a grit to my hands, and they're a little bit rough. And so I take things a little bit more grit, a little bit more rough. And so if I'm trying to sell you, right, I'm going to sell you hand lotion, soft body wash, and I have hands like these. Call me an idiot because my hands are rough. But it's the same thing with your responsibility that we talk about, is that your responsibility that you see is through your actions and through your hands. And when I talk about these hands, I mean like if you're buying a wood product from me and you're like, I've hand sanded this and hand painted it and I really took my time and did it by hand, and my hands are so soft that you're just like, this is baby smooth hands, you're gonna be the most suspicious from me. And me personally, I'd rather have a banker who has smooth hands, because it means he's typed on a keyboard and not try to build something because he can't sell his product or sell something like that because he has to do his own work. And it's just this accountability of your own eyes, where you're taking that responsibility as a man and you're seeing it. And you're like, man, I see it on your hands. I see it in your face. I see it in your eyes. I see that you've wanted to do this.
Yeah,
and that's the kind of thing we need to do as a man, is to take that responsibility and to present it out there as well, and not just be in this wall of like, this is who I am.
Kind of to shift a little bit, one of the topics that we wrote down was, is there ever a time that you thought a man was the wrong choice? And I kind of took a little bit of a twist on this one, and I was like, there have been times that I have went to the hospital, and I'll just kind of, you know. There's been times where I've went to the hospital, many times where I've went to the hospital, and I started to feel like the hospital was my second home.
It was. But
I worked at the hospital, and he was there more than me.
So, you know, but it's true. It's like, when do you feel like there's a wrong time? I don't think that there's ever a wrong time, but I'll be honest with you. When I had a couple of surgeries or like anything like that, like I had a female stitch up my arm. Mm-hmm. And that presence, there's definitely a presence when you're in the, like, there's a female that is a nurse for you, and she's doing those things, like, stitching up your arm or something like that. That calmness, there's definitely a calmness there. So it's like, is a man ever a wrong choice? No. But is there times where having that female do that type of work, like a nurse, like being the person that's stitching up in your arm, does it help? Absolutely. Absolutely, because there's a calmness there that she brings. It's like, you know, there's like, I'm gonna do this and we're not I'm gonna go slow so that way you're not like in a lot of pain. Like there's is, but like I want to just like say that there's definitely times where it's a woman's job, just like there's times where it's a man's job. And I think that's like there's certain times where that is the case. And like, so I mean, it's important to remember that. I feel like
I'm going to be a little bit controversial here, and I'm going to say that you're absolutely wrong. For the one simple fact of I think I'm a little bit of this is like my one progressive thing. There's no such thing as a thing that a man could do that a woman can't do, or a woman can do that a man can't do. There are certain things. Let me put that out there front forward. Even though I just said it, even though I just said there's nothing, there are some things. And if you do not know what those things are, that's okay. but there are certain things, and those are my lines. But like a woman should be, if there's woman problems, you're a woman, you got it, man. But as far as like work like that, like stitches, a man or a woman could do it. As far as like teaching, man or a woman could do it. Because the thing that you're like, I see it because I'm the opposite here. Because I do something that it's normally a woman's job to do. So I run a Sunday.
Herein lies.
Herein lies why I say it. So I run a Sunday school, right? And if I get some new people in and they don't really know me, and I get them into my classroom, the parents will look at me and they'll be like, a man. Okay. And they're just like hand them off. And it's like, I'm friendly, I'm nice, and it's everything like that. But it's like, it feels weird for me because they're very uncomfortable giving their children away to a man. And on the other hand, it's like, is this safe? Is this man going to kidnap my children? And I understand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the reason why I started doing Sunday school is because they asked, because they had so many young boys in Sunday school and they were taught by nothing but women. And that's, they're teaching your young men how to be women then. And so they're like, listen, can we get you in here to be a man, to teach these men how to be good, godly men into this area? And I think the exact same thing is applicable in our lives where, you know, you're scared to pass it off sometimes to something that's a little bit off. You know, like I said earlier, there's a woman who's stronger, better, and smarter than me, but she's a woman. So someone would probably trust, because it was in my field of welding, trust me welding rather than her because, you know, she's a girl.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify what I meant by that. There isn't jobs where like a man can do and a woman can't. Like I wouldn't say that. But for instance, my sister just gave birth, and I feel like she was so much more comfortable with the fact that they were women nurses that were helping her. And like, I think that there's jobs where it's like, yeah, I'd rather a woman do that. And that's
and that's human nature. I think there's human nature to expect certain people to be in certain roles. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think you're both right. I think, yes, there's traditionally roles that a woman plays or a man plays. I don't think that means that a man or a woman can't do it, as Tim said. I just think, to your point, sometimes, yeah, I mean, if I'm getting stitched up, maybe I don't want the 6'6", like, hands are bigger than my head guy with a tiny needle, right?
I mean,
like,
I understand that, but...
I might want the more gentle touch of a woman because she's just... she's not going to rip my skin apart while she's doing it. Guy's not going to care. His mindset might be, oh, you know,
and I've experienced both, so which is why I can
does
say
that mean that both aren't good at their jobs? No, they're both excellent at their jobs. Absolutely. So, again, you're both right, right?
To my point, what if it was a 6'6" woman? I mean...
Her hands are bigger than my head, but I don't think I want to stitch with my arm. Let's move on from that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but just to kind of move
but,
on from that.
But yeah, I guess just, the last
that's a dead end.
the last thing I want to say before we go is that don't be afraid if you are a man to take something that's a little bit more delicate, because there's still young men that need to know that it's okay to do these things. Just because it's normally a woman's job doesn't mean a man can't do it. No, and the reverse is true too.
Sometimes you have to step into a role whether you want to or not. I mean, if your wife passes away and leaves you two kids, your mom now, right?
Yeah, like your mom, your dad role.
So I think a lot of times people are put in a position where they have to take on the role. So yeah, it just a lot of times it's situational, but
yeah.
Anybody can do anything. There we go.
Good. But because Nathan jumped there, I want to jump back to what we were talking about before, is taking this responsibility, and you know, even to continue off of what we were talking about, is taking responsibility as a young man and accepting that you messed up. Because I think that's something that I think as I've learned as a man is like one of the keyest points. One of the main key points for anything is to take responsibility for what you've done. Like, there's nothing in this world that people hate more than somebody that goes, you know what, I messed up, but you know, if I just did this little thing, it would have been 100% better, and I would have made it 100% better for this, and this, 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 and this, and I could have done a lot better. You know that? Instead of going, I was wrong. And just look them straight in the eyes, and just, I was wrong. And that's kind of where we've been missing, is, is that, like, that used to be the classic case for a man, is just look you in the eyes and say, I was wrong. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right, but you know what? I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, even from a leadership standpoint, I think we've lost a lot of that. And obviously, in the political realm, if one of our politicians makes a mistake, which they do.
What happens?
They're human.
Yeah,
you don't see on TV, you don't see them own it, right? There's just so much, and it stems down to every level, and I'm not saying it's the government's fault that leaders don't take accountability. It's just it's easier not to.
Right.
You have a way around it. If you have a way around it, you know, the thought process is, well, why wouldn't I take it out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why would I take accountability? Who would? It doesn't gain me anything to take accountability.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it does. It does. You do gain something. You gain the respect of the people that you're leading.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think a lot of leaders don't have that. Kind of rambling here.
It's okay. It happens.
As someone who's been in both follower and leadership positions at different times, I can honestly say I would so much rather follow someone who's made umpteen mistakes but can say, yep, that's my fault. I did that. I did that. Mm-hmm. I did that. And we can learn and we can grow from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then follow someone who makes the same amount of mistakes and won't confess.
Yeah.
I would rather work for the guy that's honest.
Yeah,
I'd rather
absolutely.
Work for the guy that knows this. He knows he messed up.
Yeah.
He knows that what's the point of trying to skirt around this? And, no, you're gaining my trust by telling me you messed up.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
It's in James 5, but I can't find it. Apparently, I didn't put it in my notes. But it says, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. And I really feel like that's kind of where we need to be. It's that same thing you talked about. It's like, you let your yes be yes, let your no be no. When it inevitably fails, and at some point in your life, something's going to fail. I've done it myself where it's like, listen, there's two things that somebody taught me. It's like, listen, I need you to shut up and listen to me. Even though I've told you 100 times, shut up and listen to me. And when you mess up, tell them you messed up, because they're more willing to forgive you if you tell them that you messed up than if you try to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that yes be yes, no be no, where it's like, yes, I will do whatever you tell me and I'm going to commit my word to it. And no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to commit my word to it. And it proves your accountability. It proves who you are. It proves what you are as a man. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, what my own father, that was the biggest figure for me, tried to teach me is like, this is more important than being strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clearly I listened to that because I'm not strong, but you know, that's kind of where we need to be, is that our words need to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
That word needs to be the strength that we find in.
Well, and even again, on an everyday basis, when I first started in the field that I'm in, I service clients. When something goes wrong, because inevitably something's going to go wrong.
Always.
When I first started, it was always, all right, how do I get them to, you know, calm down? How do I mm-hmm. like diffuse the situation, you know, and kind of just like smooth it over, right? And for a while I tried that, and you know, you're always met with resistance then. Like, I would try and smooth something over and kind of not give white lies, but just like
make it sound pretty,
right? They're your clients. You want to make it sound pretty. And they always come back with, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And probably about a year and a half in, after talking to clients enough times for hours and hours a day, it clicked. And I'm like, I'm just going to start being straightforward with these people. They're adults. They can handle the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes the market's not good. Like, you know, and I get such a better response when I just say, markets were down this week, or whatever mm-hmm. we're talking about.
Yeah, whatever.
Just give it to them straight, right? I'm not saying you can't still have a friendly demeanor when you're doing that, but I found that when working with people, just being honest with them.
Yeah.
And again, it did not come from a place of dishonesty when I was talking to them. Mm-hmm. It just, I don't want to upset them. I want to, you know, keep the client mm-hmm. happy, right? Yeah. So you don't try and, you know, be abrupt with them or tell them, oh, well, this happened. But you know what they want? They want to know what happened. Yeah. They want the honest truth. They'd rather you just give it to me straight. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's again a practical application. But I think that transfers over into the the spiritual world as absolutely. Well.
Yeah,
as a spiritual leader,
I think as we, you know, as a man, you inevitably get to this point where you become a leader of a household if you get, you know, if you get married and everything like that. You know, the Bible talks about us being a leader in the house. If just, you know, even a small, like, it's you and your wife. It's like, well, one of you's got to be the leader, you know. But, you know, you got to be truthful. Because if you really try to downplay any sort of situation, it's just like, you're not helping. You're hurting this team.
Mm-hmm.
You're not being honest with me, and you're not caring. It would appear that you don't care. Because you're like, I didn't tell you because I knew it would make you upset. It's like, we're a team in this, mm-hmm. you know, and that's exactly what scriptural, you know, you gotta, sometimes you just gotta play it straight, and it's hard because
it's not fun.
Yeah. Cause you're like, man, I can make this sound so much better.
Yeah.
You make everything
I can
sound
paint
good.
This to be better. Right. I can make this sound better, but yeah. You know what? Just get it over with. Rip the Band-Aid off. Tell them the truth. Get it over with. Be a man.
and the wise actions of Jesus. Let me take this whip and start beating this temple people because they're being idiots right now.
I don't think that's exactly that's verbatim not what the Bible
sure,
says. Yeah,
I'm not sure what that's.
But I get what you were going for.
He did whip near people.
Near people.
He did not whip people.
I don't think he whipped people.
But
to go back to the household thing, though. Inside of the household, I don't know why, but this is just something that I really want to like focus on, just me personally, mm-hmm. but like preference. And I think it's preference. It's not like a man can do this and a woman can't, a woman can do this and a man can't, unless we're talking about pregnancy, which, you know, but
making a sandwich,
unless we're talking about pregnancy.
Oh, I thought you said unless we're talking about making a sandwich. I was like,
yeah,
whoa,
making a sandwich. My mom's the only one that can do that. Make sure you put the mustard on it. That's not what I said. So
thank you for clarifying. So I'm not an idiot.
The thing that I think is preference with having a woman do a job and having a man do a job, there's definitely preference. And for me, like growing up, I think I'd prefer my mom to grab the peroxide and, you know, wipe my leg off with the blood that I, you know, tripped and hurt myself. But then there's like, you know, there's just, I think there's things that you got to like definitely be aware of, that there's definitely preferences that you got to like know, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, we have roles.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a mother's job to nurture their yeah. children. It's their
even,
role.
Even an instinct, but
yeah, it absolutely is.
I'm not going to say that a man couldn't do it because I know
absolutely could.
I know that more commonly it's just like, listen, a mother wants to make sure their kids are okay. I mean, right. A dad wants to protect. Like,
right.
There's the two different responses here, where a dad sees a kid get hurt, right, and so the dad is trying to figure out, why did the kid get hurt?
Right. How do I make sure that doesn't happen again?
But the mother normally, and this is normally, I want to put that out there, is like, oh my goodness, let me care for this child. Right. And it's that teamwork.
Right.
Where you both are working together in two different ways, but you're both fixing that problem.
Right.
You know, it's that, once again, that mentality of, I don't need you to lose for me to win. You're mm-hmm. a team here. You know, you're a husband and wife, and you're going to work together to raise the child the best way you can.
You said there was going to be noise, so.
That's true.
We apologize.
We didn't expect it from our cameraman.
No.
Our cameraman dropped the camera. But, yeah.
No, it's my cell phone.
Well, currently it's a camera.
Yeah, but they're going to know you dropped it.
It is a camera, but it's my cell
phone. All right, get in front of the camera, apologize. No, I'm kidding.
Please apologize to my cell phone now.
Oh, it's all good.
No, it's not. Now.
But
please do.
Just that's for those, what I'm looking feeling for. A good portion of this.
For those who didn't, for those who didn't hear, AJ said that he edits these videos and he can do whatever he wants to make them good or bad. And so it is true.
So we're being threatened, threatened by our cameraman.
That's wonderful.
He's not getting paid tonight.
But what I want to say is that it says in Ephesians here, 22-24. I'm just going to start here in 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And we take that and, you know, I think we get a big head. And that kind of thought kind of gets in our minds. But then if you read just before it in 5, which is 15-21, it says that see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And it's kind of that, like, thought process of like, we need to be wise, not just for us, but because we are taking this responsibility as leaders, and we're having, you know, hopefully wives that are submissive, you know, some they want to lead, and sometimes they're better at leading than we are. I'll admit that, but we need to take that time and to take that the time because the days are evil. We need to redeem the time beforehand and get ourselves prepared before we jump into a leader. Like you said, a leader I want is somebody who wants to take a little bit of initiative and is not passive and like, oh, why don't you guys tell me what we're doing? Like, you know, redeem the time, get prepared so that way you can help because the times are evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got, as once again, that men mentality, we have to protect. The times are evil, guys. You know, the times are not good. Sin is abounding. There's evil everywhere. We need to make sure that we are protectors and leaders of our households and be wise in these different circumstances.
I think we need servant leadership too.
Yeah.
Not being afraid to do what you're leading other people to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you're the lead janitor, you know.
Yeah.
Go clean the worst toilet.
Oh my goodness, yes.
You know, you should be right there with them.
Yeah.
Right?
I love what it says because this is something I did want to say as well, is in Mark 10, 42-45, New King James Version, it talks about Jesus, and all the disciples were like, Jesus, I want to sit next to you when we get into heaven. Come on, I want to sit next to you when we get into heaven. They all wanted to be this best kind of person. It says, but Jesus called them to himself, and they said to him, you know those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. You know, these great people. And yet it will not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be servants. And whosoever desires to be the first shall be a slave to all. Even for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And it's that exact thing that we need to do as leaders, as the people, you know, we take a leadership role, but we need to be servants.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be open and malleable, you know, take it from the old lady and learn from her. And be that good person, you know, be as Christ came down and was a servant. We need to be servants to those who we lead as men, you know, and other men that we're around. It's very, very true.
It's good.
You know, and I think, you know, even talking about a household, we need to pass down what it is to be a man. You know, I think of a lot of different men that just were in our church that were just like, you know, hey, do this, hey, do that. And they taught me how to be a better man, you know, passing it down. And, you know, as I'm getting older now, I want to do the exact same thing. I want to keep passing down, you know, what it means to be a man, but not just, you know, any man. I want to be a good biblical man, you know. You know, and pass things down, you know.
Yeah, there always has to be the caring about the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to, you know, I want to have kids. When I have kids, I don't want to just be a good man for me. I want to see my young children become good men and women.
Yeah.
In the same way that I want to be that good man and I want my wife to be a good woman. There has to be that training with your children.
Yeah.
Because I think we see a lot in our current generation where that was missed. Right?
It was.
And
I'm not
blaming the past generation,
yeah.
But I think a lot of the issues today came from obviously single parent households.
It's hard.
It's hard. And I know, you know, it is what it is, but your kids need that.
Yeah.
Your kids need a mother and a father.
Yeah.
Right.
And sure, one can do it, but your kids need both. They need to learn strength from their dad. They need to learn, you know, gentleness from their mother. They need that mix. And I think we have a society that doesn't have.
It's hard to find. Right. It's hard to find a good family.
Yeah.
This says like, oh, both a mother and a father are here, and it's like, oh, really? That's good.
It's just not common anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's important when, as being a man now at our age, I know that there's not a lot of people that look up to us, but there is people that look up to us, and it's important to now become the person that you know. We all have a person that we look up to that, like we've said, like, you know, for instance. For me, I look up to Michael. Michael is a good person for me to look up to. And I'm like, okay, so if I want to be someone that is faith-filled, someone that is, like, looking to do whatever I possibly can to help others, not my will, but yours be done.
Yeah.
Not mine, but yours.
Yeah.
Because it's not about us. Yeah, there has to be a leader, but ultimately, God is the commander in chief. Like, if we don't have him at the center of our lives, then what are we doing? Like, we have to, because that's the only way to be a good leader, is because we've learned from the best.
Yeah.
And you can't learn from someone that is a bottom barrel. Someone that is, like, trying to just be like, well, I'm scraping by, you know. I got a couple dollars in my bank account. I think I'm doing okay. Like, I have enough money for a chicken sandwich at McDonald's. No, I want to go out and, like, have a full course meal. I want to have the steak, everything. And then, yeah, you want dessert? Yeah, go ahead and get dessert, kids. Like, that's the man that I want to become. I don't want to be, like, full of money. But, like, I want to be wealthy in every single aspect. In God, in everything that I can get from him. In money? Yeah, sure. Because why not? Like, we're not going to be here forever. And money doesn't go with you, so don't worship it. But, yeah, rack up as much as you possibly can. And then give. And then, like make that something that is like, okay, I have a lot of money. Those people over there don't have a car. I have a lot of money. Here's a car for you. I'm not telling you to, like, do that for everybody. But, like, if you have that ability, what is stopping you? Be a leader. Be somebody that's like, I have this for you. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for anything back. But what I want you to do is I want you to give it tenfold to the next guy. Yeah, I want you to be like, okay, I gave you, I was given this, and now I'm going to give you that. Or whatever it is, like giving your time, giving your resources, whatever it is, give it. And don't be stingy. Whatever you can afford, yeah, you might not be able to afford everything, but, like, just give.
Yeah.
Be the leader that you want to follow.
Yeah.
Not be the leader that others want to see. Be the leader that you personally want to follow.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You'll never regret giving.
No.
I've never given anyone anything that I've regretted.
Yeah.
You just.
No, that's a lie. You ever give a pop gun to a kid?
I won't do that. But you'll never regret giving.
No.
Right.
We heard it growing up. You can't outgive God.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying, okay, well, you should give so that God will give back to you. That's not. But when you give, God gives back. It might not. Maybe I give my finances, right? God doesn't always just throw more finances at me, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes God gives you health.
Okay? Yeah, absolutely.
It's worth thinking about it that way. Yeah. God always gives back.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can't outgive God, but you'll never regret giving.
Right.
You just won't.
I think of times personally where, you know, I never... You know, there's moments in my life where my family was dirt poor, and you're just like, man, I have nothing right now. And it's just, you realize that for me, money isn't important, because there's so much you can give of your time and of just, like, showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing that, like, always stuck with me as a kid was, like, my dad's like, I'm going to show up to every single one of your baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Dad, well, you don't have to come to every single one of these. Like, I'm not even playing today. But, like, it was more important that he showed up and gave me that time. And I even, you know, this week there was somebody who's having the absolute worst day at work, and I was like, you know what, we're gonna go get a sandwich at the sandwich shop.
Yeah.
And he's like, this really made my day. Right. And that's
those little things.
It's the things that you give. Like would I love to give a car out to everybody like Oprah? Sure, but I know that
was
like
just, yeah, that was just
that
I
is,
think she just does it for the tax break.
I mean, but I know that like to me that's like one of the least important things. It's like, oh, you just gave me a car? Great, you know? Right. And I think of, you know, somebody that's in this room is gonna lose his job very soon, and he's, you know, he came to me and said, God's got it under control. I'm good. You know, and he's got bills to pay. He's got things to do. Right. And I straight up went up to him. I was like, listen, I would panic. I would physically panic and have a panic attack about losing my job. And he's like, God's got it under control. And I was like, what? But
that's
like,
good.
That's where we need to be. It's like, give so much that you just keep giving.
Right.
And entirely put your faith in God.
Yeah, you got faith that God's going to
make it. And like, that's like, for me, I am a coward. I fully admit I'm a coward. But like, that's the kind of faith we need to have. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yep.
You know,
God's got me.
I just lost my job, but
yeah.
God will provide.
Yeah. And then kind of just to wrap things up, we're kind of at the point where we're getting done. So
yes, we are.
I want to share this last point that I wrote in my notes. Courage is the choice to face pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation, and to make good choices in the face of obstacles. Courage is a choice, but it's also a lifestyle, knowing that no matter what comes your way, you're choosing to be courageous.
Yeah.
A man. You have to be courageous. You have to be. Because if you're not, you're not a good leader. You have to have your full faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You have to be like, I'm done living for me, and I'm ready to live for you. Uh-huh. And it's about that. It's about like, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? And what are we doing it for? Are we living our lives for ourselves? Why? What's the point? Yeah. Are we living our lives for ourselves? And if the answer is yes, I want to welcome you to maybe accepting the fact that there's a better outcome out there. There's a God that loves you and is ready to take you in with open arms. He's ready to be like, you're my son. You're my daughter. I have more for you. I have better for you. So let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's come back to God. If you're not with God right now, if you've never been with God before, it's time. Hey, it's time.
We got a Facebook. It's Nate and Tim.
Yeah.
Message us.
Yeah.
I mean, we love to talk to you, but like, know that what we do, we don't just do for us, you know. At the end of the day, the number one thing that I think all men try to teach us, you know, whether it was at our church, whether, you know, outside, you know, we were very fortunate, but we were always taught, you know what, we're going to give it to God.
Right.
You know, today we're going to serve for God.
Right.
Today we're going to worship for God.
Right.
And, you know, it all comes down to that.
Yep.
It's for God.
Yep. And it's true. So I'll end us in prayer, and then we will see you next time. But anyway, nice. God, thank you for my brothers that are sitting with me, my literal brother and my brother in Christ. God, I thank you for their lives. I thank you for both of them. They are men that I've looked at them and I've been like, there's things that they do that I just want to be like. There's things that they do that I'm like, I want to be like that. And there's men that I've seen in my life that are like, okay, Nate, you shouldn't be doing that. So do better and be more like a man. So I gotta pray for these two guys, the camera guy and every guy in this world that is listening to our podcast, and just every guy in general. God, I pray that you show us to be courageous. You show us to be more like a man. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Yeah. I'll put it down in the comments if you want to say something. We will absolutely try to respond to you guys.
Yes, we will.
So thank you for joining us again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.